Take your Bible. Let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, if you will, this morning. Acts chapter 2. As I said in Sunday school, I'll try to get through without hacking and coughing too much today. I don't know if it's allergy or a cold or both or whatever, but anyhow, I'll try to make it through the message this morning. And they're going to give me all the volume they can back there in the sound booth because this might be a whisper of sermon time, okay? Acts chapter 2, would you look in verse 42? The Bible said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I want to take these verses this morning and I want to preach to you on the subject of how to make it in life. How to make it in life. I know that oftentimes people get up and you listen to the preacher preach and you think in your mind, you think, oh, preacher, you make it just sound so easy, so easy. Look, I realize it's not easy to make it in life today. It's not easy to do that. We've got problems today that our parents never had to deal with. Never had to deal with. For instance, how to drive down the road and text at the same time without having a wreck. Our parents never had to deal with that, okay? Now, I hope you're not doing that, all right? I hope you're not doing that. But, you know, things like that. How to change the batteries in the key fob on your car so you can get in the thing and it'll crank, all right? I had to do that yesterday. And, man, it sometimes I think you got to have an engineering degree just to do that. But, you know, things like that they never had to deal with. Now, I know those are not the real problems in life. Truthfully, the real problems in life are the same problems that folks have always faced, all right? There may be some slight variation, you know, along the way, but by and large, it's the same. Raising kids, what a challenge. What a challenge to raise kids. I tell people with all my heart, I believe it. Toughest job you'll ever have, raising godly kids. Tough job, hard thing to do, all right? But just paying the bills, meeting the expense. Keeping your marriage together, keeping it working. Dealing with health issues and problems. We go along and you have to deal with those things. And you say, how am I going to make it in life? How can I do it? Well, I believe the answer is found here in our text verses. And you're going to say, preacher, you're simplifying it too much, but I believe this is it, okay? Look, if you will, in verse 42, the Bible said, and they continued.
Amen.
And they continued. In verse 46, it says, and they continuing daily. Continuing daily. You said, preacher, what are you getting at? If you're going to make it in life, you just have to continue. You just have to continue. Somebody said it this way, you got to pick up one foot and put it in front of the other one. You just have to keep going, all right? You just have to do it. You say, well, it's easy to say. I know it, but that's what you got to do, all right? I'm thinking about, I remember old brother Dennis Lockhart. Some of you folks remember brother Dennis Lockhart. Dennis came to our church for years and years and years. He only came riding the bus. He started as a teenager because another teenager invited him, and he grew up in our church. He served the Lord in our church. He worked in the bus ministry, and he passed away, and we had his funeral service. But I remember going with Brother Dennis to youth camp. He only came to youth camp with us 1 year. And he went to youth camp. We went to Colorado, Silver State Youth Camp, and pardon me, one of the things they do at Silver State is on Thursday, they climb up Devil's Head. And that is up to a fire lookout tower that's up on top of atop of some big rocks that are on top of a mountain, all right? And so we climb up there. So we made that climb. We're on the way back down. I'll never forget Brother Dennis saying, "Brother Marlin, I don't think I can make it. I don't think I can make it." He was wore out. You got to understand, Brother Dennis, he didn't get much in the way of exercise, all right? And he wasn't a gym rat, okay? He just didn't do a lot. And he said, "I don't think I can make it down." I said, "Brother Dennis, you ain't got no choice." I said, "You look, I ain't carrying you down this mountain. Okay, that ain't happening." I said, "You don't have a choice. If you're going to get down, you're going to get down on your own accord. You're going to have to make it. You can do it, all right?" Now, I said, "It's downhill all the way, all right?" And it was. And I remember standing behind or walking behind him going down that trail. And the only way I can picture it, if you can picture a dish rag on legs, all right? Old Brother Dennis, man, he was just flopping everywhere going down there. But he kept putting one foot in front of another. And guess what? He made it.
Amen.
He made it. And I'll be honest with you, in life, you just got to keep going. You're going to continue. You say, "How in the world am I going to make it?" Well, you're just going to have to keep after it, keep going, keep putting one foot in front of another, keep getting out of bed every day. Just get out of bed. "Well, I don't want to get out of bed." Get out of bed anyway.
Yes,
just get up, all right? Keep getting up when you get knocked down.
Amen.
"Well, I stumbled." Well, get up. "Well, I don't feel like it." It doesn't matter. Do it.
Amen.
Hey, if you feel like it or when you don't feel like it, you just keep going.
Amen.
Continue. Continue. That's the way you make it in life. That's it in a nutshell. You just keep going. All right, let's stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Hey, the truth of the matter is, I'm most interested in you making it in the Christian life. In the Christian life. These folks in our text verses, I believe, show us how to make it in the Christian life. I want you to notice with me, if you would, verse 42. They continued steadfastly. Steadfastly. To be steadfast is to have an absolute determined resolve to do something. Determined. They continued steadfastly. All right. There was an unwillingness to quit, regardless of what happened. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Right here in chapter 2, things are going good. Things are going good. Man, Peter's preached. 3,000 people got saved. Boy, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. Boy, what a blessed time they had. It was wonderful. But I'm going to tell you something. Tough times were just around the corner. How did they make it? They continued steadfastly. All right? Steadfastly. They were absolutely determined to make it in their Christian life. Look, the reason a lot of people fail in their Christian life is because they're not determined to succeed. They're just not determined to succeed. I'm amazed. We watch athletes and we rejoice. Man, they faced some adversity, but they overcame it and they went forward and we all whoop, yay! We get a spiritual hangnail and we bail out. We're never any good for God after that. Why? Well, we're not determined to succeed. We're just not determined to succeed. We're not continuing steadfastly. Hey, I'm here as long as its gentle breeze is blowing. Preacher, as long as the air conditioner is working and the seats are padded, I'm here. But man, if I'm going to have to sweat a little bit and it's going to be uncomfortable, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. Hey, they continued steadfastly. steadfastly. Man, there was a determination about it. But I want you to notice down in verse 46, it said they continuing daily. It was not only a determined resolve, but it was a daily thing. It was consistency. Consistency. Over and over and over again, they were consistent. The truth of the matter is most of us are better at sporadic than we are at consistent. Every now and then, okay. But all the time, you got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. There's a fellow, can't remember his name, playing on the Colorado Buffaloes college football team. And he's playing defense and offense. That's the way they all used to do it. But that guy, he's playing both sides of the ball. And he's consistent. Every play. You don't see him dogging it on any play. He's giving it everything he's got. I was a big fan years ago of the Permian High School out in Odessa. Their high school football team, almost always their middle linebacker was also their fullback. And he played both ways. He played on offense. When they had the ball, he was out on the field. And when the other team had the ball, he was still out on the field. He's playing defense. It was dogged determination, consistent, every play, every down. They were right there, okay? Can I say this to you? Consistency is necessary if you're going to make it in your Christian life. You've just got to be consistent. The world expects us to be the same every day, week after week, year after year, but that's where so many people fail. We fall out at somewhere, all right? There are seasons in our life, it seems like, where we get away from God. Just get away from God. different seasons people talk about, you know, I like this season. I don't like that season. We're just coming through, hopefully. Finishing off summer. I hope. I don't care for the 100 degree plus days. I don't like those. You say, so what do? Well, I hibernate. I never leave the house for over 100. Well, you can't do that. Can't live like that, all right? You just can't do it, all right? Hey, you've got to be consistent. So many of God's people, we make it for a while, and they do okay for a while, then they fall out. They get away from God. Why? Because they didn't continue steadfastly. They didn't continue daily. They fell out. They flopped around a while, and then maybe you get back in with God. Hey, can I say this? It ought not to be that way. It ought not to be that way. You say, well, preacher, how in the world can I prevent it? Sometimes I think we preachers tell you what you ought to do, but not how to do it. Well, this morning we're going to try to tell you how to do it, okay? You say, how to do it? Well, would you look there in verse 42? Verse 42, they continued steadfastly, notice what it says, in the apostles' doctrine. They knew what they believed. They knew what they believed. They believed what was right. It's the apostles' doctrine. It's not the teaching of the commandments of men. Don't lose your place here in Acts, but look back with me in Matthew chapter 15, would you? Matthew chapter 15. And by the way, you can find basically the other verses say essentially the same thing, several other places in the New Testament, that we're just going to look in chapter 15 and verse 9. The Bible says, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Hey, we're to be focused in on the apostles' doctrine. What does the Bible teach? What does the Bible say? It's that. It doesn't. Can I say this to you? You say, well, you ought not to name names. Well, I'm preaching.
Amen.
It's not what Benny Hinn says. It's not what Benny Hinn says. That guy's got some of the most jacked up doctrine you ever heard of in your whole life, all right? Just out there, crazy. By the way, it's not Steve Anderson. He's not right either, okay? He's got away from the Word of God. It's not Joel Osteen. It's not the Seventh-day Adventist. Hey, it's not anybody else. Stick with the apostles' doctrine that's found right here in this book.
Amen.
Stick with that. Man, I was reading, I think it was a post on Facebook. I saw that Mrs. Patterson, our missionary down in Chilpancingo, Mexico, she was talking about they were out witnessing. They ran into these people, and they were talking about this strange belief they had, and they were following some man, and they gave his name. I don't remember what his name was. She said we tried to witness to him, said it was a waste of time, wouldn't even listen. You know, I never cease to be amazed at the foolishness people will follow.
Yes, sir.
Man, a few years ago, they were following Master Chin here in the United States. What a knucklehead, okay? What a knucklehead. There were folks that when the comet came by, they committed suicide because they figured that was going to get them swept up on... Man, that even sounds stupid, doesn't it? And we'd rather believe that than what the Bible says.
Amen.
We'd rather take the commandments of men instead of what God's Word says.
Yeah.
Hey, just believe this book. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They kept their beliefs right, okay? It was focused in. It was on the Word of God. Look, if it's not in the book, you ought not to worry too much about it. If it's in the book, then you ought to believe it, you ought to do it. You ought to just do it, all right? But if it's not there, you don't have to worry about that. And by the way, can I tell you the truth? It doesn't matter what the toenail polish on the beast, on the image in Nebuchadnezzar, in Daniel's day, it doesn't matter what the toenail polish represents, okay? We get in arguing about stuff like that, and we get away from the truth, the things that really transform our lives in the doctrines of God, following some man that's got the idea. There's a guy in Florida today, he's teaching that there's only, we've already gone through 3.5 years of the tribulation, there's only 3.5 years left, and the first 3.5 years of the tribulation was in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on this earth. Don't look at me. I felt the same way, okay? How do you get that out of the Bible?
Amen.
When people are looking for stuff, they want to say, well, I found something new. If it's new, it ain't true. If it's true, it's not new, okay? Man, they believed it. You need to be established in what you believe and why you believe it. The problem is so many of God's people, we don't know. We don't know what we believe. We don't really know why we believe it. So what happens to us? Go to Ephesians chapter 4, would you? Ephesians chapter 4. Here's what happens to us because we don't know what we believe. We don't know why we believe it. So here's what happens. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Carried about with every wind of doctrine. The Bible said, be no more children. Grow up! For crying out loud, get in the book, find out what you believe. Come to church, come to Sunday school, listen to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Read it, study it, know what you believe. So somebody can't come along and shake you up and convince you that the rapture is going to be in the middle of the tribulation period. No, it's coming at the beginning of it, and we're going to hear the trump of God come up hither. We believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that affects the way we live. We're not carried about with every new thing that comes along. Look, you can get on the internet and get you a following. But can I say this to you? Just because a whole bunch of people listen to you don't mean what you got's worth a flip. Dr. Gene Scott used to have a TV program on television late at night, and a lot of people sent money to him, but he was a charlatan, and he was a fake. Hey, don't get sucked in by false doctrine.
Amen.
Know what you believe. They continue. You want to make it in your Christian life? You continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In the apostles' doctrine. Secondly, would you go back there to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. The Bible said not only they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, but it says, and fellowship and in breaking of bread.
Amen.
They continued in fellowship and breaking of bread. Just to keep my alliteration going, you keep your beliefs right and you need to keep your buds right, okay? Who your buddies are. Your fellowship. Run with the right crowd.
Amen.
Run with the right crowd. Hey, it's okay for you to be friendly with folks out there in the world. They need a friend. They do. Those that are without Christ, they need a friend. They need somebody to point them to the Savior. They need somebody to witness to them. Hey, that Christian that's only a marginal Christian, they need a friend. They need somebody to be friendly to them. Fine. But boy, don't hang with that crowd. Don't hang with that crowd. You get out there, you run with the right crowd. Run with those that are fellowshipping with the Lord. Run with people that will sharpen you. That'll sharpen you. People that'll encourage you. Encourage you. People that'll exhort you. People that'll strengthen your faith. That's the crowd you need to hang with, okay? Well, but all my friends, hey, listen, if you'd really start living for God, they'll shuck you, all right? You won't have to shuck them. But then get in with the crowd that's serving God. Get in with that crowd that you can fellowship with that's going to help you, all right? Don't get with a bunch going to drag you down. Don't do that. I mean, the smartest thing you're going to do, if you've got trouble and you've got problems in life, pick a subject, okay? Pick any way you want to go at it, all right? If the one I usually refer to is because we understand eating. We understand eating, okay? Hey, can I say this to you? If you're trying to maintain a halfway healthy lifestyle and a halfway healthy eating habits, you don't hang with the people who's got a box of donuts under one arm and a sack from McDonald's in the other hand, okay?
Amen.
That's not the crowd you're going to want to hang with. In case you hadn't figured it out, McDonald's not healthy eating, okay? It's not healthy eating. Yes, I like a Big Mac. I do. I confess to you. Every now and then, I'll eat one. You know, two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. I can quote it to you, all right? I know it. I like to eat them every now and then. But boy, it's not good for you on a regular basis. I'm not hanging with the people that say, let's eat at McDonald's again today. Well, we ate there the last 7 days. I know, let's make it eight. No! Don't want to hang with that bunch, okay? Don't want to do that. I don't want to hang with the crowd that it's constantly donuts and apple fritters and those kind of things, those cinnamon twists. Let's pray and go to the donut shop, all right? That's not the crowd to run with if you're going to be healthy. Hey, listen to me. If you're going to make it in your Christian life, you don't hang with the crowd that's on the edge. You run with the crowd that's all in.
Yes, sir.
You get in that crowd that's going to exhort you. And if you start lagging, you know, remember what over there in the New Testament after the Lord had been crucified? Peter said, I go fishing. And the rest of them said, we'll go with you.
Yep.
Hey, somebody needs to stand up. And when you get a little weak, they need to say, nope, don't you give in. You're going to make it. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to hold you up. I'm going to help you through this time. We're going. You need to run with the right group. Your fellowship needs to be right. They continued steadfastly in fellowship and breaking of bread, all right? That's the fellowship with other believers. They could get encouragement. They could get exhortation. They could draw strength from them. Those that would help sharpen their Christian life. That's what you're going to do. You're going to make it in your Christian life. That's who you need to hang with. Then would you look in that last word, that last three words in verse 42, it says, and in prayers. They continued in prayer. Hey, they had their beliefs right, they had their buds right, and they had their beseeching right. They prayed. Stay in touch with God. How many have ever heard somebody say, well, you heard somebody say, well, I prayed and it seemed like my prayers didn't get past the ceiling. Any of you ever heard that? Man, I've had people tell me that. You say, what'd you tell them, preacher? Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. You don't quit praying. Just because you don't think that prayer's getting through, you don't quit praying. You keep praying. You just keep praying. You keep bombarding heaven. Why? Well, it helps you stay in touch with God. Helps you stay in touch. It helps your heart to be in tune. Now, you ought to believe, you ought to read your Bible. You can't keep your beliefs right if you don't read your Bible. But you not only need to read the Bible, but you need to stay in touch with God. You need to talk to Him. You need to talk to Him. He needs to hear from you. And it shouldn't be, Lord, do you remember me? No, it ought to be, Lord, it's me again. I was here yesterday. I was here 5 hours ago. Lord, it's me again. I'm back. I need some help. I'm here. Why? Because we're trying to help you make it in life, okay? Trying to help you make it in life. You're going to make it in life. You need to stay in touch with God. You need to learn what it is to pray and talk to Him. And by the way, can I say this to you? It is not necessary for you to prostrate yourself on the floor when you pray all the time. It is not necessary for you to kneel all the time. It is okay to pray with both eyes wide open, driving down the road.
Yes, sir. Amen, brother.
Lord, I need some help. Would you help me?
Amen.
I need you to assist me. I need you to guide me. I don't know what to do. Or, Lord, I've got a friend that's hurting. They need some help. Would you help them?
Amen.
You can pray wherever you are, okay? It doesn't have to be an hour session, sweet hour of prayer. It doesn't have to be. That's fine, but I want you to know every now and then, just 5 minutes here and there, pray when you can, but pray. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Steadfastly determined. I'm not giving up because, Lord, there's some things I want. I'm going to keep coming, keep asking for them. Why? I want to make it in my Christian life. Hey, they continued. Can I tell you something? That life produces some evidence. Would you look with me? Would you look at verse 43? Now, verse 42 said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer. And then in verse 43, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now, I'll tell you something. If you'll continue steadfastly the way you should, God will work on your behalf. God will work on your behalf. He'll do some things for you. He'll do some things. Now, I don't know about you, but it's not necessary for God to instantaneously heal me of my runny nose and my cough. For me to feel like God's working on my behalf. Not necessary. But boy, I sure do like it when He does work.
Oh, yes. Amen.
I sure do like it when He opens the way.
Amen.
When the ways seem crowded and the outlook seem hopeless, but He parted the waters and we were able to go through on dry land. Boy, I like that. I like that. I like it when God works on our behalf. I believe this, folks. I believe you'll continue steadfastly the way you should and just trying to make it in your Christian life. God will turn around and do some things for you. He'll answer some of those prayers. He'll answer those prayers in a mighty way. In a mighty way. Open it up. Bring blessings your way that will never come your way except you were where you ought to be doing what you were supposed to be doing. So God works. He works on your behalf. I'll tell you something else. I believe this. Verse 44 and verse 45 describe something that is a little bit of heaven on earth. Notice what it says. And all that believed were together, had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Hey, there was a caring unity among God's people. A caring unity among God's people. They took care of their own who were in need. phone rings fairly often. I'll come in oftentimes and find the blinking light on the answering machine there in the office and punch the button, and somebody will say, "This is so-and-so, and I need some help. Could you call me back?" Almost invariably, call those folks back. Now, you're going to say, "Preacher, you're hard." Well, I learned from my dad.
Amen.
I remember my dad, one of the first questions he had asked somebody that asked for help, he said, "Where do you go to church?"
Amen. Yes, sir.
Where do you go to church? I've never had anybody that asked for help that said, "Well, I go over here to such and such church, and I go faithfully, I go regularly." I'll tell you what happens most of the time. "Well, I haven't been able to find a church yet since I moved here." How long have you lived here? 15 years. Well, obviously, you're hard to please. You say, "What are you getting at, preacher?" I'm getting at this. You see, I believe God's people ought to take care of God's people.
Amen.
I believe we ought to care about each other. I believe we ought to care about each other. Now, hey, there were no deadbeats. There were no deadbeats who hung around looking for a handout. All of these people were serving God. All of these people, they all continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking bread and in prayer. There were no deadbeats. There were no deadbeats. I've got no use for a deadbeat, I'll be honest with you, okay? I don't have much use for somebody that won't work. The Bible said if a man won't work, then don't let him eat.
Amen.
Don't let him eat. I believe that. Now, we've had people come by. One time we had a fellow came by and he had several kids in his car and they said they needed help. And Dad said, "All right, I'll fix something to eat." At that time our school was here at the church, and he went back, heated up some food, brings it out. They left. They were gone when he came back out with the food. Yeah, they want something. They want money. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. This preacher's not too anxious to give people money. Because I'm not going to support somebody's drug habit. I'm not going to support somebody's booze habit. I'm just not going to do it. I don't give people, I hardly ever give people money. Just put money in their hand, all right? Now, if it's somebody's a faithful member of the church, I know them, that's different. You see, I believe when you continue steadfastly in the apostle doctrine, I believe there's a caring unity. There have been times I've stood here before you and I've said, "Look, we've got somebody in our church has a need. That has a need, and we've taken an offering for them." We've taken an offering for them. Why? Because we care about them.
Amen.
It's not necessarily you have to know who it is. Not necessarily you have to know who it is. But man, we ought to be willing to help the folks that are faithful, serve the Lord, faithful in church. We'll be willing to help them. There's a caring unity about them, all right? Everybody was involved. Hey, I tell you what, when you continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer, there'll be that unity. There'll be that caring unity. Hey, God will work on your behalf, and I'll tell you something else, people get saved. You look there in verse 47, the Bible said the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. People get saved. Why? Because we're living right. Because we're making it in the Christian life. Can I say this to you? You can make it in life if you want to. You can make it in life if you want to. On the other hand, you can make excuses for not making it. You can make excuses. "Well, you don't understand. I got this, I got that." Okay. Make excuses. Or you can make it. You can make it, all right? By the way, nobody said it'd be easy. Go through your Bible. Find any place in the Bible where the Lord said, "Hey, if you'll get saved and live for me, you'll have an easy life." It's not there. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say, man, everything will be smooth sailing. You'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Doesn't say that. But he said, "I'll supply your need." He said, "I'll take care of you." We want everything to be easy. And we think if it isn't, God's let us down. No, he didn't. No, he didn't, all right? Hey, listen, you keep your beliefs right, you keep your buds right, you keep your beseeching right, you stick it out through good and bad, thick and thin, stay after it in the morning, in the evening, when it's hot, when it's cold, when there's opposition, when it seems like everybody's on your side. Stick it out. You stay faithful. And the apostles' doctrine, you know what you believe and why you believe it. Fellowship, you run with the right crowd, run with the right people. You keep praying. You keep praying. You say, preachers at work, it works. It works. I'm not promising instant remedy, but it works. It works. You want to make it in your Christian life? You can. You can be a success. You don't have to be one that fell out. You don't have to be a failure. You can be one that stuck it out. He said, preacher, I've already stumbled along the way, and all right, but hey, I can't fix yesterday. You can't fix yesterday, but you can fix today and tomorrow. You can take care of from here on out. From here on out, it's up to you. It's up to you. What do you want to do? Hey, they continued. They continued steadfastly. They continued daily. They just stuck it out. Will you do it? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. We call upon you. We realize this old world we live in, and we live in a world where living